What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for January 30th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. And Portillo here.
Portillo's here. Well, yes, as you all know, Jen has to work in Montreal, so I am being a good dog dad again.
The dog daddy.
And as we discovered yesterday, Portillo will indeed, as I've always dreamed of, sit on the table. So he is now just going to be a fixture
when
he has to.
So he will chill through the whole show.
He's falling asleep as we talk right now.
Me too. not the only one.
Yeah, wait a you son of a bitch. Getting closer to having a real dog bed for him and not just this cobbled together thing. Gary, let's address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
You and I both look smashing, all right?
We do?
You got a haircut.
I got a new haircut.
And I did this thing with, I'm using a new putty for my hair.
Oh,
I have a lot of body.
A new pomade?
I got a lot of body. Yeah, look at that.
What's the product, if I may ask?
It's, well, Garnier Fructis used forever.
Hey, Miller?
And, yeah.
Of course, there's an issue.
What? But you're recording locally, right?
Yeah, we are.
Then I would never need to be stopped. Garnier Fructis, right? They used to come in this giant thing with surf putty. Now they're in a very small pomade can. And
okay.
I'm using that, so it's different on that angle and that way. And now, I don't know. You know how it is? You have to jump. You get in there, and I've just used it, and now I'm getting a different styling.
It looks good.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of it.
Do you put anything on your beard?
What I do with the beard, Gary Whitta, is, of course, I'll trim it. But then what I do is I have this face lotion I've always used.
Yeah.
And I was noticing, as a new beard guy, I was getting, like, dandruff beard, where you, like, scratch it, and then you have, like, stuff on you. Like, that's gross.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No. So I had face moisturizer already. Every morning now, I rub that in after the shower.
You can get, like, beard pomade.
Totally.
Beard products you can get.
See, I think I have some of it, but I thought my interpretation of it is that was more for styling of it, right? Like if you wanted to like give it some kind of like, you know,
right.
I don't even know. See, if you wanted it not to move, I was just more where the moisture for the face underneath. And I seem
yeah.
to, have, I, this is like early on in the beard thing,
right?
You know, in the beard game where then I had to fix that.
Do you think the beard is a permanent fixture now? Or can you imagine a point where you go back to naked face?
It's one of those, you never say never. Right, you never say never that I'm never gonna shave off the beard, but I do look remarkably better with the beard.
I think
you look good with the beard. It's weird now to look at pictures of you, like
100%.
You know that picture of you that's up in all the Portillo restaurants.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
With
exactly.
Pre-beard,
big
you
mistake.
Look like such a baby face
in that picture.
I know.
Yeah, and now it's one of those things I look in
you
the mirror.
You look more mature. You know what I think it does.
What's
it
that,
lends
Gary?
You gravitas.
I think. I mean, it looks like I got my life together.
Yeah,
it
looks like you know what you're doing.
I look like I'm not. Yeah, I have something going on here that makes sense for me. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you got a little just enough gray in there to make it look a little distinguished.
That's the thing. For some reason, the beard really tipped everybody off that I had the gray hair.
Yeah,
the gray hair's been in there for a long time. Kind of funny. Definitely slowly killing me day by day with all the stress of it. As you heard earlier with Kevin, we were having Twitch problems. We are having Twitch problems. Kevin's pulled up a Twitch support tweet here. We are looking into issues preventing
Kevin's
users from going live.
Hang,
it's never Kevin's fault. Hang tight. We're on it. That was sent 3 minutes ago, so we'll see what's up. But we're going to continue the show for you, YouTube, and podcast listeners. Is it not live at all? Is anybody seeing anything?
It's not live at all.
Is like Ninja down? Is like the whole Twitch universe down?
Something's wrong on Twitch's end. They're looking.
Yeah, I see that part of it.
So is all of Twitch down at the moment?
There's something preventing from all of their users.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
Well, then I guess this is a different occasion, right?
Yeah.
Because it is, it's kind of funny, stream day. And so this would be the normal intro to the stream day. Do you want to stop and like pause for a second and do it? Like, what do you want to do?
I don't know.
What's your call?
My issue is we don't know how long this problem is going
exactly,
to resolve.
Right?
So perhaps we keep going. I'll try to restart.
What a day for Twitch to go down, though, when you're supposed to do a 12-hour live stream.
Is there any other time for it to go down?
If
Funny plans anything, I guarantee that's the day something's going to shit the bed. Now, granted, things shit the bed all the time. We just don't know because we're not doing them. But I think that's the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's just go on, Kevin, right?
We'll make it work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's what you want, right?
Yeah, right now I'm putting the Twitch the
tweet out there.
Yeah, out there in the chat so they can see.
Gotcha. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunny.
You're still getting used to that, aren't you?
It's rough. It's rough, man. It's just because it's so ingrained, right?
You've been doing the old way for so long.
I know. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and you are a bronze member, you can be part of the show with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. If you got no bucks to toss away, because you could also be a silver member, get all the benefits of bronze, plus get the show ad-free as an MP3 video. You get the Gamescast that way. You get the pre- and post-show for the Gamescast. All sorts of cool stuff. I digress. If you got no bucks to toss our way, you can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, Kevin just slapped his hands and then gave me a thumbs up. Does that mean it's live now?
It looks like we are live. Maybe not anymore. I don't know.
Okay, it doesn't matter. If you're seeing us Twitch people, it's not our fault. It's Twitch's fault. Go to Twitch support. And if you're not seeing us live, sorry, we were usually live. And if you're watching live, you need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. As we said, today's supposed to be our 12-hour stream. The second 12-hour stream as part of Kinda Funny's fundraising for the month of January. Remember, all month long on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, we are raising money for Kinda Funny's future. Hopefully new employees. Hopefully a studio. A world tour for sure. We just got back from Arizona. We're doing our normal morning shows today. Kinda Funny Games Daily, KFAF, then at noon-ish, coming out with the announcement stream, recapping where we are on the thermometer, recapping what Kinda Funny's doing in 2019, talking about new stretch goals, talking about how we're going to be hanging out with you the rest of the day, playing video games, drinking, doing a Kinda Funny podcast, having a good old time. Hopefully you're seeing it live so you know. Or maybe you're getting this later and you're like, why is everything effed on Twitch? Now you know. Today we're brought to you by Quip in Alien Blackout, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Gary?
Yeah.
Next Generation is knocking at our door.
I'm excited about this.
IGN's Joe Screbbles, a made-up name, and I don't care how many UK people try to tell me they've met him and know he's a real person. He's not real, Barrett! Barrett, how many times did you meet him?
Four or 5 times.
Did he look the exact same every time, or is IGN hiring a different Joe Screbbles every time? I refuse to believe it. Sony might be shifting first parties to PlayStation 5. Joe writes, or whoever this man is, Sony is apparently having its first party studios focus on PlayStation 5 game development, but we may not see the fruits of that labor for some time. Industry analyst Daniel Ahmad, who has previously reported inside information ahead of official confirmation, took to Reset Era to explain that, quote, in general, most of the focus for Sony first-party studios is on PS5 right now. It is still early to talk about next-gen, but I imagine we'll hear some whispers come out at GDC, end quote. He added that, quote, PlayStation 5 or PS5 dev kits are out there, and I've heard positive things about it, end quote. Sony has already officially confirmed that it's begun work on creating a PlayStation 5, and several third-party publishers, including Square Enix, Bethesda, and Activision, are openly working on next-gen games. Are you shocked, Gary Whitta?
No, I'm not shocked. I mean, it's obviously inevitable. You know, PlayStation 5 will follow PlayStation 4 surely as night follows day.
PlayStation 5 begets PlayStation 6.
Eventually, if you remember, that glowing orb that was, remember the PlayStation 9?
Oh, yeah.
That they had in that TV commercial years ago? It was like a crystal ball thing. Mm-hmm. We'll eventually get there. But no, so as inevitable as it is, it's still, as someone who's excited about next generation stuff, it's exciting to see the evidence that it's actually happening.
That's the thing, and I want everybody who's listening or watching right now to embrace this moment. Wow, there's rumors of PlayStation 5. This is so exciting, blah, blah. Because like 6 months from now, maybe even a year, depending on when it's actually going to launch, we're going to be so sick of talking about rumors about PlayStation 5 and what it can do and what it can't do and blah, blah. Like, I remember when we got excited for Orbis. I remember when we got excited. It's funny they bring up Joe brings up GDC here because, of course, GDC, the Games Developer Conference here in San Francisco in March every year or spring. I remember when that was the first time the PlayStation 4 Pro news had leaked,
right?
Where somebody had overheard another developer talking in like line for a sandwich or whatever, and like started putting it all together. But eventually, we just get to the point of like, all right, just give me the damn thing, show me the real thing, explain what a PlayStation 5 is, and that's I'm not there yet, but I feel like, and I want your opinion on this, Gary Whitta. I feel like next gen isn't going to be boring, but I just don't think it's going to be, it's not going to be this giant step forward, right? Like, I feel like we've got graphics and fidelity and sound and all stuff to not the best it can ever be, because obviously it can always get better, but you're not going to see that PS1 to PS2, PS2 to PS3 jump.
Why not?
Look at PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4. Like, games on PlayStation 4 look better, but I don't think you look at PlayStation 3 games, you're like, oh, God, I can't believe we were playing that.
Right.
And I feel like it's going to be technology based. And like what I get excited for with PlayStation 5 isn't, oh my God, the graphics. Oh my God, this. It's going to be, how are they going to tackle streaming? How are they going to tackle backwards compatibility? Is this going to be like, you know, I keep making this stupid prediction that I'm sure I'll look like a moron soon for that whatever the next Xbox is, Xbox is still going to be one ecosystem. Games go backwards and forwards. It's not that kind of thing. My question is, PlayStation 5 going to only play, let me dial that back. Are PlayStation 5 games going to be able to be played on PS4? Are PlayStation 4 games going to be able to be played on PlayStation 5? What does an ecosystem for PlayStation look like? Because Xbox has been touting this, you know, one platform for so long now. What has Sony got up its sleeve for what it wants?
Well, I mean, I think you're right to identify that, like, just better graphics is not all that the next generation represents. That's the most kind of forward facing. You can see it in screenshots, you can see it in footage, and clearly there is a lot of room for improvement. I was talking about it before the show. My wife and I last night were watching this because we're playing a lot of Resident Evil 2 Remake Resident right now. Evil. We watched Resident Evil. We were watching this video of
it's fun.
Right? It was a side by side comparison of Resident Evil 2 from 98.
Yeah.
Compared to the version we have today, 21 years later.
Yeah.
And we were watching it, and my wife commented. She made the same comment that I was thinking, which is like, looking at the 98 version, like, can you believe we ever thought this was state of the art?
Oh my God. Oh, the graphics. Look how real it looks,
but,
right?
But doesn't that mean that 20 years from 10 or 20 years from now, we'll be looking back at the new Resident Evil and going, can you ever believe we thought this looked good?
I do think there's going to be a big part of that, but I feel like we used to make these giant leaps where you couldn't wait to see what is Dolphin going to look like, right? What is it? I feel like it's going to continue to be incremental so that, yeah, in 20 years we look back here and it's like, oof. Man, I can't believe we rendered trees that way. Right. They didn't have a dynamic day-night cycle automatically, things
right,
like that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm anxious to see the next generation because I have so many questions about what that's going to look like. I really do feel like we're going to, with streaming is going to be a big part of this next generation out there. And what does that look like? And then also, are we still using the term generation? Like, it is next-gen hardware, sure, but it's like, is it more the next iteration? I feel Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Pro, as much shit as I gave them when they came around, of like, I don't get it. Now I kind of get it, and I feel like, is that mean PlayStation 5 is just a little bit better than PlayStation 4 Pro?
Yeah, I mean,
can any of them be quiet? Because I'm sick of my fucking jet engine.
There's obviously room for improvement in that what we don't have right now, either on the Xbox One X or the PS4 Pro, is native full res 4K, 60 frames a second. Like, most of those games are still in 4K,
sure,
are still showing a lot of compromises. They're not really running in full 4K. They're running like 2.5K or something, and they're not always holding. They're not always holding like a stable 60 frames a second.
Of course.
So what you really want is, if we can get there sooner, which I hope we can, a $300-$400 box that is running essentially the same as like a high-end PC with a 2080 in it, like 4K,
yeah,
120 frames, just like absolutely bells and whistles, singing and dancing. And I think if you put those two games next to one another, you would be going, oh, wow, yeah, this is the next generation. But I do think the next generation is, I think we're going to start seeing increasingly, like it used to be PS2 to PS3, PS3 to PS4, the only really big difference was the graphics are better. And that's always the headline. The graphics are better, the performance is better, better hardware. But I think we have to start thinking about, well, what are the other ways that you can improve and what are the other ways you can innovate?
Yeah.
Maybe discs go away. Maybe physical media goes away at some point.
No.
Kevin doesn't
Come
like
on,
that
Kevin,
idea.
Kevin, get over it.
Doesn't like that idea.
You saw the stock yesterday on GameStop. The writing's on the wall.
No.
Maybe the way in which you buy and play games becomes something closer to what, you know, Google is promising with their, yep, kind of instant game streaming. So you just, forget about downloads, forget about
everything's on the cloud.
Updates, installs, like it just instantly is there. And you've got this amazing Netflix like smorgasbord of games that you have infinite access to.
Yeah.
I think the way that we play and buy and experience and download and install, I think all of that is going to change. And I think ultimately that is going to be a far bigger kind of seismic shift in our gaming experience than just better graphics.
And I 100% agree with you. And that's what I'm excited about. But that's a hard thing to be like, as we start leaking out information about like the specs and how many teraflops we got. I mean, like,
well, what's on your wish list? Like, what do you most want to see from the PlayStation 5?
I mean, that's a bigger question, right? Like, honestly, right now, as of January 30th, 2019, I'm far more interested in what Xbox is doing next generation.
Why is that?
Generation. Because I feel Xbox is going to make bold moves. I think PlayStation...
Because they have to? Because they need to catch up?
Exactly, 100%. I think everything they've done on this game team of Game Pass, of backwards compatibility, of trying to build this ecosystem that is like, yeah, we're all about games, and we're trying to be good to the gamers and pay it back. I think they're going to continue that into their next hardware cycle. And I totally believe. I will be shocked because I've totally gone hook, line, and sinker on this Xbox Scarlet thing of, yep, there's going to be the 4K crazy expensive, not crazy expensive, but the crazy box that costs a lot of money. And then there's going to be the Xbox Scarlet that plays those games,
right,
and just streams everything and does, right, it this way. And we're using the Azure technology.
Much
and all
lower
stuff.
Cost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
$100, $120, $150, yeah, bucks to get, yeah, in there and have that. And that's going to be, for me, whether that succeeds or fails, I don't care. I'm just so fascinated if they actually take that, because I think that's where they are, is like they're on the ropes. They know they need a big swing. And I think that they tried to make a big swing with the Xbox One. We're putting Kinect in the box. It's your entertainment hub. Talk to it. Put everything into it. Blah, 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 right? The problem being that they didn't believe in that vision enough. That was a vision somebody was pushing there. More than one person was pushing. Don Matrick and everybody else there, right? Some people. There was a team there that was like, this is the future. And everybody's like, I don't know. Aren't we a game machine? Like, nah, fuck that. We're going to do all this stuff. And you'll see. Okay, we're number one. Okay. And then they did it, and the pressure came, and they folded, right?
And they're no longer number one.
Exactly. But I think that they've learned from taking their licks there to come here. They saw what PlayStation did of like, we're about the gamers. It's all about games. That's what they've built the Xbox brand on now. And I really think if they can come out and say, here it is, here's Scarlet, here's what our lineup of first party studios is working on, have been working on, you'll see these games, X, Y, and Z. I think that's going to be fascinating. And that would steal momentum in terms of, wow, that's fucking bold and exciting and awesome and interesting. I know, as somebody who's for years talked about digital future, I want all my games digitally. I don't need physical stuff. I love streaming. I love all this stuff. I understand that the majority, a lot of people, I'm not going to say majority or minority, a lot of people, and probably the overwhelming majority, are like, it won't work. It can't happen. Blah, blah, blah. I remember when Apple pulled out the iPhone, the first iPhone, and we were all like, what? It's got no buttons. What are you talking? That's crazy. That's stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, how am I supposed to type on that thing?
And I'm not saying this is going to be the exact same thing, but if Xbox actually has it figured out and they actually deliver you a streaming console that we all plug in and go, oh, fuck, it works. Oh, wow. Yeah, great. Yeah, it's not 4K. It's not this, but it's $100 and I'm playing this and Game Pass is included. So that first thing, $100 I come home with, I do $10 and then I've got, like you're saying, an unlimited amount of games to go play and stream and do all this different stuff. And my clouds and the save goes everywhere and you can play it on your phone with a controller and you play it on your, like, it's going to be fascinating. And I just don't, it's similar to what we were talking about yesterday with the Epic Game Store. Of when you lay it out, Steam's doing so much more than the Epic Game Store. However, we're comparing a service in Steam that's been around forever to Epic Games that's been around a couple months. And it's that's the big question for me is, if they it's going to be similar to PlayStation Now, where they launched PS Now, right? And you're streaming games and it didn't work that great. And so many people like me were just like, oof, swing and a miss. See you later. And it's gotten way better. And people write in all the time saying, no, I love it. It works really well now. You should try it again and do all these different things. If they come out and miss that first impression, it's going to be hard to dig yourself out. So to build a console around that first impression, you got to be ready to fucking nail it on launch day. And that's, are they there? Is that a real thing? I don't know. I find all of that fascinating because for me, you asked me what I want out of the PlayStation 5. I want what Sony's probably going to deliver, which is more of the same. Loads faster. For some reason, I don't know if this happens to anybody else. My PlayStation 4 Pro, I'll go out, I'll be in a game, oh, what are the trophies on? Go out, go up to the trophies thing, click on trophies, and it'll freak out and go back to the game. I'm like, well, that's not a weird bug. Like, I want that shit not to work cleaner. I want, I want them to go back to the old fucking video player for when I go into my video apps so I don't have to jump it through this hoop. You know what I'm talking about here?
So are you saying, it's an evolution versus revolution argument, right? Are you saying that you'd be satisfied for the PlayStation 5 to not be particularly revolutionary but just be an evolution of the PlayStation 4? Like, just a bit better in all respects?
I don't know. Happy isn't the right thing. That's what I'm expecting. Right. This is very similar to when Tim years ago on the Gamescast asked Colin and me, like, what do you expect out of Fallout 4? And I was like, I expect my lowest expectation is that I get Fallout 4. I get Fallout 3, but a little bit prettier, a little bit bubble. And that's what we got. Right. And It was like, oh, cool. That's not my game. I don't look back at Fallout 4 and talk about how much I loved it all the time. Right. The revolution of Fallout 3 is what I still look back on with warm memories for. Right. Love Fallout 4. PlayStation 5 is just fascinating because I don't know what Sony we're getting. Are we getting the Sony, not of hubris, but the Sony that like, hey man, let's just not fuck it up. We've been doing pretty well this generation. Let's just iterate on everything, do a little bit better. Or are we going to get, because people write in all the time of like, Greg, you're selling PlayStation short on what they are doing with PlayStation Now. They understand streaming. They see that streaming's happening, that it's going to be a big pillar of them in PlayStation 5 and blah, blah. And it's like, I want to believe that. But I've wanted to believe a lot of stuff PlayStation's done in my 12 years of covering them, right? Like, I'm not sure what they're going to have. And that's fascinating and it's interesting, but it's not exciting because I'm not being teased and tantalized. I feel like Microsoft is leaking and little pieces are coming out and they're putting out cool videos enough to make me really stand up and go, wow, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if that's going to be success, but I really want to see how that plays out. Whereas PlayStation, I'm just like, yeah, you're doing great. Keep it going. Make trophies better.
I mean, it's been interesting to see the last couple of generations, how it's almost been like Microsoft and Sony kind of trading off the fuck-up mantle with each generation, oh, yeah. right? Because the PlayStation 2 was obviously a stonking, stonking success.
Yeah.
And Xbox OG, the original Xbox, did okay.
Took its licks, right?
And then Sony... entirely, I think it goes entirely down to hubris, as you say.
Yeah.
Sony followed up the incredible success of the PlayStation 2 with PlayStation 3, which kind of flopped out of the gate, right? Big, ugly, huge, loud vacuum cleaner box, $600. I mean, everyone remembers what a joke that press conference, right? Yep. It's Ridge Racer and
hit $599
US dollars. Here's the historically accurate Chinese
giant enemy crabs
hitting for massive damage. I mean, that is now enshrined in video game infamy.
Yeah,
and it took a long time for them to recover. And Xbox 360 came out, and Xbox 360 was really impressive, and that took the initiative.
Yeah,
and I think, would you say that Xbox 360 won that generation?
Yeah, this is something you go back to all the time, and this is the heat of beyond, right, for me.
Yeah.
Yes, Xbox 360 won hearts and minds. They won that generation. Yes, I know that if we sit there and compare sales, PS3 catches up and surpasses, right?
Right.
But it didn't matter, because for years it was that every third party game was better on Xbox 360.
Right.
Some of them were fucking unplayable at launch on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and then they had Red Ring of Death issue. I mean, they had their own embarrassments.
Of course, everybody does, but it's always like...
That was particularly bad, though.
Yeah, but it's always the victors write the story, right? You know what I mean? And even for, you know, PlayStation, in the end being the victor, it was a long-fought campaign of 1,000 cuts.
The point being, it was interesting that, you know, so PlayStation 2, huge success, leads to hubris with PlayStation 3. Xbox 360, huge success, leads to hubris with Xbox One. Xbox One was Microsoft's PlayStation 3 in that it was a big boondoggle box that was too expensive. And, you know, the Kinect was a complete embarrassment and a waste of time and a failure.
Yeah.
And it took them a long time to kind of, they had to basically rewrite. Like, you talk to someone at Microsoft now, Kinect, what's that? Never heard of it. Like, they had to airbrush it out of history, like Stalin, like it never happened.
Yeah.
They were so embarrassed by it. Like, you can't get anyone to talk to you about the Kinect at Microsoft anymore. Like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
They just plead ignorance.
Sure.
Because it was such an embarrassment. So I wonder now, as PlayStation 4, has Sony learned its lesson, or is PlayStation 4 another PlayStation 2 in the sense that it's a phenomenally successful box that might beget hubris for the PlayStation 5?
And see, this is where we're back to it, evolution versus revolution. I think what you'll see with PlayStation 5 will not be hubris. PlayStation will remembers the lessons of the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Vita, a device I loved, but didn't need the touchscreen, didn't need the 3G. Could have been if they would have been the PlayStation that launched the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation Vita would have been a runaway success. We're making you a sexy handheld that's going to have awesome games.
Right.
Boom. That's all they need. If they would have said, which is what they said with PlayStation 4, right? And again, this is where we come back to the revolution thing, right? PlayStation 3. PlayStation takes a beating on it in public opinion, right? And so PlayStation 4 was their mea culpa. They came out on that. I'll never forget that press conference. Hey, here are the specs. It's not the cell processor. It's just a PC. It's going to be easy to port to. Please port your games. We're all about games. We love games. Let's talk about the indies. Let's talk about, you know what I mean? It was a revolution in terms of like, oh, they're being very open that their console is just a watered down PC.
Right.
And that it's going to be easy to put things on. Awesome. And I feel that's where we get now with this next leap into next generation, in quotes. Xbox needs to make a big move. They need to grab headlines. They need to change the story and come out. And I think that...
Yeah, Microsoft surely are not satisfied with the status quo.
Oh my God, no way. And that's the thing is, and they get it. The move they need to make isn't, we want to be the entertainment hub of your living room. And they need to be, we're the best place to play games. We say it all the time. We're going to prove it. Here's the games we have on it. It's going to, both of these messages for next gen are going to be about games. And it's going to be Xbox, I think, saying, best place to play games, here's all our first parties, here's how we figure out streaming, da-da-da-da-da. And then PlayStation, I think, doesn't need to make the giant move. They just need to keep going with what you love. And so if they iterate on that and don't fuck it up and don't make the console too expensive and don't change everything, you know, for the umpteenth time, they just literally come out and they're like, here's what we've done to make it different. That's the safe bet. I'm hoping PlayStation comes out and does shit I'm not even expecting, and it is awesome and it's great, but not to the extent of... It's a gajillion dollars, and this is where it's
But your about. Overall bottom line theory is that you think for the next generation, Sony likely to basically play it safe. Xbox more likely to come up with like some kind of moonshot, like here's a big swing.
Yeah, I okay. do. I do. That's right. I would leave it at. Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hey, Greg and Gary, I hope all is well. After yesterday's report that GameStop has failed to find a buyer, I have to wonder who will fulfill the hardware needs of gamers when brick-and-mortar stores finally go away. I know GameStop isn't the only option, but they currently don't have a CEO and have experienced flat sales for the past 4 years, as reported by Matt Piscatella, friend of the show. This would seem to indicate that the end is closer than we think. Are we to trust Amazon to get our PS5s to us on launch day? Their track record with video game deliveries has been spotty the last 2 years. I don't buy physical much anymore, but I do enjoy going to the store on launch day of a new console. It's nice to celebrate with fellow gamers on those days because new hardware is a rare occasion. Will that experience even be possible by the time the next gen launches? Keep up the good work, Blackjack."
How long do you think GameStop has left? Do you think the writing is on the wall for GameStop?
We had a long conversation, not a long, we had a good conversation about this yesterday, because of course I'm a child who acts like he knows things, and I admit I know nothing, but you know, yesterday GameStop were no longer trying to find a buyer, stock fell 25%.
Right.
And I was like, I don't play the stocks. This seems like a stock you should buy, because it seems like they're going to come back. They can't be gone. And then other people in the room are like,
why
not?
Why can't they be gone? Blockbuster went away. Tower Records went away.
But I feel as GameStop gets not desperate, but more hungry to compete, they're going to keep trying to compete. And that's the thing about stocks is like, and companies, I should say, is like, it's just going to, GameStop is going to have an announcement in the next year that brings their stock back up. Not to the highest it's ever been. And that was somebody pointed out. It's like the highest it's ever been is like $17, Greg. It's not like you're going to make $1 million. Like, true. I'm not saying that. But I don't think it's time. They're going to go away quickly. And if they do get to the point of like, hey guys, we're about to be totally done, I feel like somebody's going to buy them and try to fix it and do it. And, you know, Fran yesterday brought up Magnolia, the speaker people or whatever, the audio people that like Best Buy bought them and then put them in
the fancy
stores.
Part of Best Buy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a part of business and brick and mortar retail. I don't know shit about, but I think is an interesting thing. There's juice to the GameStop brand. I still feel.
Do you think GameStop could end up as like a sub store inside Best Buy or something?
I thought it was an interesting thing when Fran brought it up.
Right.
Because like, I was like, well, yeah, but it's not the same because you don't. And he's like, no, Magnolia people still are Magnolia people. That's what they know the best. And
right.
It's like, that's what I would hate to see is that, yeah, GameStop folds and now it's just the electronics department at Walmart or the video game aisle at Best Buy.
Yeah, because that's the thing that GameStop, I think, still has some cachet. Like, I still feel, I mean, you know, I'm fairly educated, but I wouldn't need to do this. I'm fairly educated about games. But if I go into a game store and I'm clueless,
yeah,
and I go into GameStop and I say, should I get an Xbox or a PlayStation, or should I pick up Resident Evil 2 or whatever, I feel there's a decent chance that the person behind the counter is going to be able to give you some educated advice. They generally know what they're doing. They're generally 100%. Gamers. They're generally pretty smart.
I would not feel
confident having that same conversation with someone at Best Buy or Target. No. They don't know anything.
You walk into Target, yeah. Like, right? Hey, can this run on my Nintendo Switch? And also, can you tell me about this DVD player? And also, right. What about this TV?
They can get the game out of the case for you, but that's pretty much all they can
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And like, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people that work at those stores that know games as well, but then there's the hodgepodge that don't. They're there for the other electronics. I would go one further and like, I would remove the generally. I shouldn't say never. I guess in college, years and years ago, I heard some, but maybe bad advice at a GameStop. But in general, I feel like when I go to a GameStop, people are knowledgeable.
I've never had an experience where I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
And I mean, this is totally, this sounds like I'm beating a drum or beating my chest. I'm not. I also can't remember last time I went to a GameStop and the counter people weren't like, oh, Greg Miller. And I'm not saying because I'm so famous. I'm saying because they clearly pay attention to the industry. They understand, like, you know what I mean? I'm sure Brandon Jones or somebody
I would
else.
Say that you, as Greg Miller, as a very visible person in games, that would be a great test. That would be a great kind of shibboleth for a GameStop employee. That's what I would do. If I was the head of GameStop.
Maybe like Cliff Lesinski would be a better test.
If I was the head of GameStop, here's what I would do. I would use you like a lab rat, which is what you are.
Sure, I'll take it.
I want to make sure I'm the new CEO. Okay, they need a CEO. Okay, fuck it. I'll apply. I've got nothing else going on.
Yeah,
I'll do it. So I'm the new head of GameStop. The first thing I'm going to do is I've identified the fact, exactly what we just talked about. The value of GameStop is that you can go in there and feel confident that the person behind the counter is a gamer and knows what they're talking about and can give you advice, which is something you cannot get at Best Buy or Target or Walmart or whatever. They don't know what they're doing. They're just there to sell you a box.
Okay, for the most part. I'm sure we have plenty of people who are like, I love games and I work at Target.
But for the most part,
yes,
I feel more confident.
It's a
specialist store.
Yeah.
And you expect them. I would be super disappointed if I Let's say I went into GameStop and said, should I pick up is Resident Evil 2 good or not? I see it here, but does it have good reviews? And the guy went, I don't know.
Yeah.
That, you fucked up. Like, you're supposed to know that shit.
Yeah.
But I think I just as good a test would be to send you into every GameStop in the country. And if the guy or the girl behind the counter doesn't say, oh, Greg Miller, you fucked up. You should know who that guy is.
That's a bit bolder. I was just using it as an example that I feel like they're hardcore gamers.
Can you, what's the chance, what would you say the percentage chances if you walking into any random GameStop in the country today and getting recognized versus not getting recognized by either a customer or the person behind the counter?
I don't know.
Is it better than average chance?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I mean, just based on my own, like, we were in Arizona. This will eventually be a kind of funny blog. We were in Arizona and we ate Peter Piper pizza and drank there. Then we went to a brewery and drank there. Then it was like, we're going to go out and drink with Xavier Woods tonight. Let's get some food from the Walmart and like stock the house and buy some beer and all that stuff.
Right.
So we walked through the strip mall and we're a little tipsy and we went into a game. There was a GameStop. And yeah. It was like, let's go in there. Let's see the games and see what's going on. I'm like, you think they'll know us? No way. Like, we literally opened the door and the guy's like, Greg Miller.
Did you
go
in to see if you would get recognized?
No, it was us fucking around. I think eventually that became the question.
But you were recognized immediately.
Yeah, immediately. And then it was the same thing. What are you playing? He's like, oh man, I'm playing Resident Evil, but I can't wait for Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
so that's what I'm saying. You're not going to have that kind of conversation. I won't, again, bring up specific stores, but you're less likely to have that conversation at a non-specialty store.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that GameStop still has as a selling point.
Well, I mean, that's what, I mean, for all the, you know, people I know, it's fun to shit on big corporations and all this different stuff. For all that aside, what I love about GameStops is, yes, I think, again, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, they're run by passionate video game fans, just like us that are watching this or listening to this. I mean, I go to the GameStop Manager Expo usually every year. I think we didn't go last year. But when we speak there or when I do a signing there or whatever, like, those people talk to me about how well GameStop's treated them. Not to mention that it's awesome they bring all their managers to one place to teach them about the games of the next year and then send them back to disseminate the information. But it reminds me so much of the local comic book store. Like, right? Like, I walk into a comic outpost experience below us, right? And I walk in there and be like, Julie, what should I get? And she's like, oh, you like that, right? Then get this and do that and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like GameStop still exists in that way.
Like, you would never expect to go into a comic book store and say, what's good this week? And have the person go, I don't know anything about comics.
Exactly.
Like, well, what the fuck are you doing? Working in a comic book store? Do you think when GameStop interviews potential employees, like retail employees, they part of the interview is like, do you know it? Are you here just because it's a job or do you like care about it games?
Someone who got interviewed to work at a GameStop.
Oh, you did?
Electronics Boutique back in the day. But yeah.
Okay. And what was that like?
Nerve wracking. God, it's all I wanted.
Did you get the job?
No. No, I didn't get the job. Not at all. No. I can tell you when I blew it, too. Because it was every
year. Was this when it was still Electronics Boutique or was it EB Games?
This is when it was still Electronics Boutique.
Oh, that's old school.
I'm old. Yeah. I went in there and I applied every year for a summer job. And I guess not every year, but like year two of applying. So I'm like 17, I guess. They called me in. They finally called me.
Is this back in Missouri?
No, this is in Illinois. Well, I was in Illinois. I went to college. Okay. Yeah. And I remember the caller ID, like the caller ID you attached to your phone because it wasn't like built in.
Right. Right.
Coming up Electronics Boutique. I was like, oh my God, here we go. And I answered, like, yeah, can you come in for your room? I'm like, of course I came. Went in, got this interview. And it was funny because when Jen and I went back last year for Christmas stuff, we went around that mall and I was like, and I pointed to the couch. I'm like, that's the couch they interviewed me on. And anyways, I got out there and the guy's like, asked me all these questions and we're talking about games. And the question that blew it for me, I think, Gary, and this again is how old I am. He goes, well, you know, in a couple months, Star Wars Episode One is coming out.
Oh shit!
So
this would have been what, 99?
Yeah. If I wanted you to lead setting up the display in the window, he goes, would you want to work alone or would you want to work with one of the team members? And without thinking, I was like, oh, I'd want to work alone. I just get in there, do this, blah blah blah. And like when I at home, I'm driving, like I'm taking off my time, driving home, and I'm like, why didn't I say work as a team? It's a team effort. No, I should. And I never got a call back. Never got the job.
Oh, because you weren't a team player.
I think so. Yeah. I was too independent. I was too wild for them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's my biggest regret. Life could be a lot different.
I do think it would be sad if GameStop goes away because it is the only game left in town, right? As a specialty store. There's no more EB. There's no more Funko Land. I don't know what else there used to be, but there's some mom and pop shops.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're basically.
But mom and pop shops are so few and far between.
They are so few and far between.
I miss Slackers in Columbia, Missouri. People write in about their mom and pop shops, and I'm always like, I wish we had that. I wish in San Francisco there was like a cool video game mom and pop shop to go to.
It would be a real loss the more I think about it if GameStop went away. Again, you and I are in the luxury position of we've educated ourselves about games. Well, I know that I read the reviews. I come on this show. I look at the news. I follow people in games. I've educated myself about games. I know that Resident Evil 2 is a game that I want to go play. And I want to go. All I need is a store that has it in stock. That's all I need. Because I have no questions. My only question is, can you get this out of the case for me? Will you sell it to me? That's all I care about.
Sure.
But if I have questions, again, I really don't. I really don't feel like I'm going to get well served at Best Buy or Target or Walmart or just a big box store. I want to go to a place like a game store. Again, the game equivalent of a comic book store where I can have a conversation and someone knowledgeable there can answer my questions. If GameStop goes away, where do you go for that kind of service? It's gone. Yeah. They're all that's left. And that's kind of scary.
Com, I guess, you know? To Blackjack's question, like, of where would you go to get your consoles? With all due respect, I haven't... all my consoles have been from Amazon. In recent memory, and I haven't had the problems. I know he talks about, you know, last 2 years it's been spotty. I see it every so often of, you know, the flare-ups of these things got canceled, this didn't go out, blah, blah, blah. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I'll never forget those at IGN because, like, the poor, sad UPS driver who drag up 30 PlayStation 4s and we laid them all out and we took photos every lane on top of them. Like, getting them day and date's never been a problem. My Switch came that way. My PlayStation 4 Pro wasn't on launch, but I got it that way. Or no, I actually... No, I bought my PlayStation 4 to GameStop. That's right. I traded in a bunch of stuff. But like, for the most part,
given
that I love it of like at E3, even like, and it's available for pre-order now and you go boop and it's done. It'll be there on the day.
Great. I know GameStop does fuck up. I saw a thing. I can't remember who it was. It might even have been Amazon, but there was a thing the other day about how a lot of people that, I think it was GameStop actually, a lot of people who ordered the Kingdom Hearts 3 PlayStation 4 Special Edition console.
Yeah, that was GameStop.
Didn't get it because GameStop, I guess, oversold it.
Yeah,
and they disappointed a lot of people. And the problem with it is, I think the people who know about games, one of the things that I know about games is they don't think that GameStop are particularly competent when it comes to satisfying everyone's orders and things like that. The Kingdom Hearts 3, every time this happens, I would not feel confident ordering, say, the PlayStation 5 from GameStop, because I feel like when the day comes, there's a good chance they're going to fuck up.
I'm still not feel like get you roll console. The dice with anybody you order anything from.
With anybody.
Yeah. But unless you're number one in line on the day of.
All things being equal, Greg, Amazon doesn't need your money. Jeff Bezos is the richest man in history. Why not get it, if it's just as likely to get it from GameStop than Amazon, why not get it from GameStop, which actually does need your money because they're almost going out of business?
That's a good question.
That's right. There you go.
I think it's mainly
a man of the people.
You are definitely a man of the people. I just, you know, Amazon doesn't screw me. They sent Porty some boots here, you know, we're going to Quebec in a week. They sent them little booties. They were too big. We printed off the return label. It's
Amazon
all the time.
Amazon is so convenient. I'm very lazy, but every time I order for something from Amazon, I feel like I'm part of the problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you an Amazon Prime member?
Yeah.
Did you know that gets you Twitch Prime and you could give us a free subscription?
Yeah, and you get it from me.
Okay, good.
It's actually due up for renewal February 4th.
I know. Look at this guy, everybody. Be like Widow.
You're gonna get my Twitch Prime sub.
Number two on the Roper Report. That's right, 37 minutes in. Ubisoft's Pioneer isn't dead. This is from Jason Schreier at Kotaku. A tweet 2 weeks ago from a former Ubisoft director led the gaming world to believe that Pioneer, the sci-fi game that was teased inside of Watch Dogs 2, was canceled. Is it, though? The answer to that question is hazy and may depend on your definition of canceled. Jason, as usual, has a fantastic article with a whole bunch of context, stories, and off-the-record sources. I'm cherry-picking here. Go to Kotaku to read it. Yet, as I've asked around since then, I've heard from three people familiar with goings-on at Ubisoft that there's still a project called Pioneer in development. It's just very different now. Quote, old Pioneer is dead, said one. Pioneer's half-undead brother is here. In early January 2019, word came out that Pioneer was canceled for real, except it wasn't. Instead, according to three people familiar with the project, Ubisoft actually rebooted Pioneer, once again transforming it from a non-violent exploration game into a co-op multiplayer alien shooter that uses some of Pioneer's old features. What's more, Ubisoft has told Pioneer staff to use the Rainbow Six branch of the publisher's Anvil Game Engines, parentheses, in other words, the code and tech that helped make Rainbow Six games, suggesting that the new Pioneer may be related to, or at least inspired by, that series. In other words, the project called Pioneer is still in development, and it may still even resemble the trailer that was snuck into Watch Dogs 2, but it no longer resembles the Pioneer that was originally planned, and we'll have to wait and see if it ever actually comes out. more than anything, an update, because we talked about the directors and a few other people from Ubisoft, or formerly from Ubisoft, tweeting about, oh man, rest in peace, Pioneer. I wanted to make sure we were all clear that Pioneer, just their vision of it, apparently is dead, according to Jason.
Okay.
There's still a project called
Pioneer. But some form of it lives on.
Right. Which I think... You work on a lot of different things. And you can't talk about them ever.
Things
you're
get canceled all the time.
Yeah, they get canceled, they get changed.
Or
they...
reinvented into something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very, I mean, even in the best case scenario, it is, I have never, ever, and you know, whether it be, well, Book of Eli, okay, so that was actually, they made, the film that came out was pretty much what was intended.
Really?
That's a script that I wrote, and it's very rare for that to happen.
Oh, on IMDb trivia, they say it was originally about a talking frog.
Well, yeah, the frog had to go. It was okay. Too expensive. Couldn't afford the CGI. But like, whether it be any big Hollywood studio movie, I include, like, the version that we had of Rogue One at the very, 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 very beginning is quite different from the version of the film, sure, that was ultimately made. Because by the time it goes through development and everyone is kind of stuck their oar in and made their contribution, and it's gone through development and collaboration and revisions and test shooting and reshoots and everything else, the thing that comes out at the end is never really even remotely like what you first imagined. All you can do is hope that something that remains true to your original intent and hope and expectations, like the spirit of it remains there.
Yeah.
But there's almost nothing that you see in games, television, film, literature, you name it, comic books,
collaboration,
that reaches an audience in exactly the same form as it was originally conceived.
Gotcha.
Very, very rare.
Okay.
Well, it does happen, but it's rare.
Well, keep your eyes peeled for Pioneer. Number three, this is one Gary would have found. I can't believe it either.
Yeah, this is in my Twitter feed this morning.
EA has given in to Belgian regulators and is going to stop selling FIFA loot boxes. This is from Kyle Orland over at Ars Technica. Electronic Arts is halting the sale of its FIFA points virtual currency in Belgium. The move effectively ends the ability to buy randomized in-game FIFA Ultimate Team card packs in the country, which the Belgian Gaming Commission has ruled is a form of illegal gambling. EA has spent the last few months defying a Belgian order to stop selling those Ultimate Team packs in the local version of the game, drawing an investigation from the country's prosecutor's office. But this week, quote, after further discussions with the Belgian authorities, we have decided to stop offering FIFA points for sale in Belgium.
More like we have been forced to.
Yeah, exactly. We're breaking the law and we're going to stop, the company wrote. Yeah.
After a discussion with the police, I have decided to spend 12 months in prison. Yeah,
we've come to a settlement where I'm going to jail. Quote, while we are taking this action, we do not agree with Belgian authorities' interpretation of the law, and we will continue to seek more clarity on the matter as we go forward, the statement continues. Blizzard, Valve, and 2K had already removed loot boxes from the Belgian versions of their games in the wake of the Gaming Commission.
You know, they get a lot of shit, but I'm really warming up to the Belgians. Think about it. Fantastic chocolate.
Yeah.
Waffles. Fantastic biscuits.
Yeah.
And waffles.
Yeah.
Fantastic French. You heard Belgian French fries?
Oh,
with like the mayo.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Really, really good. Yeah. There's actually on Mission.
Frites. You're talking about Frites.
Yeah, there's a great Belgian French fry place. I think it's on Valencia. Is it on Valencia or a Mission? I can't remember, but it's a great place.
I think it's Valencia.
It's on Valencia.
Yeah.
Great Belgian French fries. And now, fantastic record of holding irresponsible companies' feet to the fire. I love it.
That's where you're going to, when it's time for you to run for your tax shelter, you'll go to Belgium. That's where we'll look.
We have decided to stop offering. No, you didn't decide anything. You got forced to. Because that's the only way anything's ever going to happen. You cannot expect these giant companies to ever do the right thing of their own volition. They're never going to do that. You've got to force them with the fucking law. And that's what's happened here in Belgium, and I applaud it.
Well, it's another, you know, another win for your anti-loot box campaign, right? And this is the rallying cry of Gary Whitta.
It all started with me. I mean,
exactly,
I think I take credit for all of it.
I think you should as well.
The Belgium authorities, clearly, big kind of funny Game Daily listeners.
And that's where they were like, something's amiss over
this
there.
This guy Gary's, you know,
he's talking
a lot of sense. He's very passionate. We should look into it.
And they're like, well, is he American? Like, no, he's British. Oh, then we can listen to him.
That's right.
Makes sense. Okay. Number four, THQ Nordic is tap dancing around that Metro statement I told you about yesterday. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. THQ Nordic is distancing itself from a THQ Nordic statement, distancing itself from the decision to release the PC version of Metro Exodus exclusively on the Epic Games Store. So yesterday, I read this one with Fran.
I'm struggling
to
keep up with this one. What is going on?
So, did you see that? You know how Metro is no longer going to be on Steam? It's like moving to Epic Games.
I did see that, yes.
That, of course, is a decision by Deep Silver. They are, of course, owned by Koch Media, and they, of course, are owned by THQ Nordic. Yesterday, THQ Nordic tweeted out, like, hey, while they're doing this, this is a decision. They own the IP, so they get to do that. It was very much like, hey, we wouldn't do that. That seems like a shitty thing, but they're doing it, but don't worry about us. We wouldn't do that. And then Fran was like, wait, what's the ownership? And we were all very confused. And it turns out everyone's very confused. And now THQ Nordic is disagreeing with THQ Nordic, but at least clarifying the comments of THQ Nordic. Stick with me.
All right, I'm gonna try.
Earlier this week, THQ Nordic's subsidiary, Deep Silver, scuttled the Steam launch of Metro Exodus less than a month before launch, opting instead to release the game exclusively on the upstart Epic Games Store. While existing pre-orders on Steam are still being honored, the move drew some backlash from would-be players and Steam itself, which called the move unfair to Steam customers. That was followed by the THQ Nordic Twitter account thread specifying that the decision was made by Koch Media, a step above Deep Silver in the corporate hierarchy, adding, quote, "We do not want to categorically exclude the possibility of timed exclusives for any of our games in the future. But speaking in the here and now, we definitely want to have players choose the platform of their liking and make our portfolio available to as many customers as possible," end quote.
To as many outlets as possible.
My apologies. Thank you very much. Today's statement laid out the corporate structure of THQ Nordic AB, the Swedish parent company that has three subgroups, Koch Media, THQ Nordic GmbH, which released the statement on Twitter, and Coffee Stain Studios. THQ Nordic AB co-founder and group CEO Lars Wingfors laid out his position on the matter, saying, quote, "I fully support our subgroups' autonomy to run their respective businesses. I believe it's the group's and ultimately the consumer's best interest, that business decisions are made close to the market, and this is the group's consistent business model. I firmly believe that Deep Silver and Koch Media have carefully considered the advantages and disadvantages, opportunities and risks in their decision to go solely with the Epic Games Store. Decision has my full support. I have noted that there is some confusion about the two different THQ Nordic entities." Man, who would have guessed? Two right? things called THQ Nordic talking to each other about things would be confusing. "The parent company and the operating entity in Vienna. As already communicated to shareholders last year, the parent company will change its name to better reflect its status," end quote. What a fucking quagmire over there.
I feel like the amount of which I care about this story does not justify trying to pick all this confusion apart. It's like, okay, all right, let's just move on. Like, it's too confusing to care about.
I mainly put it in because we talked about it yesterday, and then we were confused, and I was like, man, I should have known that. But apparently, even they don't really
even
fucking
they're confused.
Fun. THQ Nordic is distancing itself from a THQ Nordic statement, distancing itself from the decision. Fuck me. Fuck me running. And then finally, number five, I'm not even going to read it because it's just good news for you. Certain Affinity is opening a Toronto, Ontario, Canada studio. They're going to be helping with the games coming out of Austin and doing a bunch of cool stuff.
It says here they're the largest independent video game developer in Austin, but I've never heard of them.
Really?
I mean, should I have? What have they done?
Certain Affinity has a proven track record developing innovative AAA action games, including both original titles and co-developments of games in the blockbuster franchise like Call of Duty, Halo, Doom, and Left 4 Dead.
Oh, shit. I'm surprised. I should have heard of them.
They did Alien Isolation, too. I want to say kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Toss that one in my face if I'm
okay.
wrong.
All right.
Gary, here's where I usually do a funny little transition into the official list, but instead, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors because we're having a great show and running late.
All right.
Today, we're brought to you by Quip and Alien Blackout. Quip is a new electronic toothbrush. I ordered two of them yesterday. I ain't lying. I ain't dying. Starting a healthy routine and sticking to it are two very different things. Inevitably, we all skimp on that full night of sleep, skip a workout or two, or brush our teeth with a tired old toothbrush. We're not perfect, but we can do better. And Quip is the better electronic toothbrush that can help. Built-in two-minute sensors pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Why? Because up to 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. There's a multi-use cover that... Pertillo's twitching. I want to make sure he's not jumping off. He scares me sometimes. Multi-use cover. It works as a stand. It mounts to mirrors and it slides over your bristles so you can pack and protect your Quip on the go. Brush heads are automatically delivered to your door on a dentist recommended schedule for every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh to stay committed to your oral health. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why we love Quip and why I ordered it. And you should head over and become one of the 1 million happy, healthy mouths that do too. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get the first first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at GETQUIP.com/games. Next, let me tell you about Alien Blackout. Could you survive standing face-to-face with the perfect bioengineered killing machine? If you're like me and Gary, you are probably deathly afraid of xenomorphs. And the fine folks from Foxnet and D3Go want to put you to the test in a new chapter of the Alien franchise in Alien Blackout. Available today on your mobile device. In Alien Blackout, you must do all you can to stay alive while trapped aboard a crippled Weyland-Yutani space station that is carrying a deadly alien organism. You know, like the one in the movies. And the xenomorph definitely does not like your crew aboard this space station and is ready to tirelessly hunt you down and your crew. Can you survive for 7 fear-inducing levels as you take the reins as Amanda Ripley? Yes, that Amanda Ripley, the one you know as Ellen Ripley's daughter. Guide your crew in Alien Blackout through increasingly challenging situations, only using your wits and the station's failing emergency systems. Alien Blackout is a unique fear-inducing space survival horror mobile game experience that will test the inner nerves of both alien and horror fans alike, where life can end in an instant. Click on the link in our description on YouTube or head over to d3go.com/kfgames and download Alien Blackout for the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Store today. Gary, I can't wait to see if I like Quip and Alien Blackout, but those are still so far away. If I needed something more imminent, like say what came to the mom and grab shops that may be dying and we're not sure, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Azusa. RP Online. Putting around PC Mac.
I think that's putting around, right? Isn't that got pretty?
That's right, sure. Putting around PC and Mac. You know, you got a bad name for your game. You can't blame me. Unblock Gridlock on PC. Heat on PC. Subnautica Below Zero on PC and Mac. Changeling on PC and Mac. Goodbye Deponia on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Drowning on PlayStation 4. PlayStation Vita, it lives. And
games
Switch
are still coming out on the Vita. It's amazing.
Some are saying it's more popular than ever.
Are they? No. Who's some? You?
I'd rather not reveal my sources. Fishing Star World Tour is coming to Switch, and then Smash Brothers got that Piranha Plant.
I fulfilled the pre-order for that, so I should have that. If I log into Smash Brothers, I think I'll have it.
Yeah, they put it out last night, so if you did that, you got to jump on there and get it. Then new dates for you. There's a free Overcooked 2 update coming soon, and then Inside Xbox returns on Tuesday, February 5th at 2 p.m. Pacific. Deals of the day for you. There's a Humble Bundle for PlayStation 4 Indies. If you go over to the link, you can go to the PlayStation blog to get it, or just go to humblebundle.com. For $1, you get Grim Fandango Remastered, A Bard's Tale, and Innerspace. If you beat the average price, that's at least 1 cent more than the current average bundle payment, you get Layers of Fear. This is all in addition to what you already have. Layers of Fear, Wasteland 2 Director's Cut Standard Edition, The Talos Principle, and Broken Age. And if you pay $15 or more, you get everything that I've already said, plus The Killing Floor 2, Shadow Warrior 2. Then there's an Xbox sale through February 4th that really helps out Assassin's Creed fans. This is via IGN. If you go over through the Xbox store right now, they have discounts on Assassin's Creed Odyssey. You can get for $30. Worth pointing out, of course, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames debut video game club for next month. So if you want to be part of the conversation, give us reviews, your thoughts, questions, all that jazz. It's going to be me and Mrs. Witta.
Oh, you, that's right, making there her kind of funny debut.
Very excited.
So this is how I get informed that I got cut out.
Well, you're on it, too. You're going to be on the board right there.
That's fine.
Do you want to sit at the desk, too?
Yeah, you're on the mic.
I thought I was going to, but it's fine.
You're in.
Hey,
what?
Hey, don't worry about it.
You're on the desk now, right? Yeah, Now you got to tell Barrett he's got to sit at the desk and do this stuff.
It's fine. Hey, don't worry about it. I'm actually busy that day.
Did I say it was only her? Did I say it was only her, Kevin?
You implied it.
Did I? Yeah. I might have. I definitely expect you to be part of this, so suck it up, Buttercup.
No, Barrett's got it.
What? Origins is also $19.80. You can get the other older games cheaper, too. FIFA's on sale for $24. Madden and NFL 19 is $26.40. And then NBA Live 19 is $10.
That Humble deal for the PS Indies in particular seems like a really great deal.
A lot of good
stuff there.
Humble bundle is a lot of good dollar stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? Gary, we peppered the questions into the show and had a great time. So it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com. Nope, damn it. I need the shock bracelet. I keep talking about giving Barrett the shock, put a shock collar on me, and he gets to zap me every time I get it.
No, we're not doing that.
It could be good content.
What did you screw up?
I tried to send him to the old link instead of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Bronze members get to send in their PSN name to be part of the show. Today it's Emmett Watkins Jr. What game does he need help in? Dreams Beta on PlayStation 4. His PSN, it is EJ Sponge 61. All one word, EJ Sponge 61. Emmett, says, just send me your levels. If any of you have some to recommend, the Dreams community was so supportive and welcoming when I streamed the beta the other night that I'd love to do it again before it ends on the 4th. But in order to do so, I need more Dreams to check out. So send them my way using the send to function in the beta client. Thank you. Thank you, Emmett Watkins Jr. A lot of people have been talking about that Dreams beta.
I'm fascinated by this thing, Dreams. I don't know too much about it. I've seen some of the things that people are creating, and it seems like if it's actually doing even half of what it seems like it's doing, that's pretty amazing. Like,
that's what I'm saying,
how
man.
Robust are these tools? People are creating music, they're recreating games.
They're insane.
I mean, it seems like the sky's the limit.
If you want to see how impressive Dreams is, we will be streaming it today during Kind of Funny Day's stream.
Yeah,
in the afternoon, I will be streaming it. If you have levels to send me, use the send to function and send them to Game Over Greggy. And then, of course, hit up Emmett so he can stream more too. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames when it works to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. It did work eventually, so thank you very much. Twitch was having problems as we started. If you missed the beginning of the show, I'm Greg, that's Gary, that's Portillo. We're streaming for 12 hours today for Kind of Funny Day after this. Right after this is KFAF. We're going to announce a whole bunch of different things. We're going to show you where we're going on the world tour. We're going to give you a whole bunch of dates, new shows, new goals, and then we're going to hang out and play games and drink and eat pizza. For 12 hours. So let's see what we got wrong.
What did we get wrong?
This isn't you're wrong so much. Hold on. Yeah, okay. Well, it's not a you're wrong. I can't confirm, but D wrote in and said, GameStop requiring gaming knowledge is up to the hiring manager or district manager. I was hired in October, and my manager openly stated they didn't play games at all. Their kids did. GameStop wants a friendly salesperson, in my experience. That store closed its doors last Monday, though. So,
sure. It goes to show, right?
Going through here, there was a rumor of breaking news that Jason Schreier debunked, because Jason Schreier is the best, so I don't want to bring it up. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to tell you. I'll never do that.
Yeah, we're not in the business spreading fake news here, Kevin.
Corey Cudney writes in.
All right.
To You're Wrong and says, Certain Affinity was founded by one of Bungie's main multiplayer designers and made Halo 2's map packs and co-devved Halo 4 Black Ops Master Chief Collection. Also, they hired me, so that's cool.
Okay, cool.
That's right, Corey.
So he would know.
Yeah, Corey Cudney, the gift guy. He's making all our gifts. He just got hired there. And as I told him before, he better not stop making the gifts. Yeah. We need the gifts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Zaire says, PSA, today's the last day that before the Wii Shop channel closes forever.
Oh, that's right.
If you have any Wii points left, today's your last day to spend them.
Sad day. It's always a sad day when they finally throw the Switch on a platform or a service, and those games and those things are just gone forever.
But I mean, we have the Wii Shop song on YouTube. Like, there's like a 24-hour loop of it, and that's all that I need.
Yeah, but some of those games are now gone forever, and people who are in the business of game preservation are, I think, rightly up in arms about it, because I feel like Nintendo in particular, you would think should and would be better custodians of their own gaming history than just flipping a Switch and having those things out of existence.
You know, they just want to. They want to resell it to you again.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's the real thing. Oh yeah.
Listen to this.
Copyright strike. What are you doing?
They're not gonna copyright us for this.
Oh God, you're so dumb. Stop it.
So many happy memories.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, you can be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we're streaming for another like 11 hours today, right now. So even if you listen to this on your car ride home, we're probably streaming. You can catch the show at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can catch it on podcast services. Gary's got a comic book out called Oliver. You should all go pick up.
Oliver number one is in comic book stores right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sign off and read subs and resubs and stuff as we continue the day streams and do a whole bunch of cool stuff. But until then, whatever, I don't even know. It's been a pleasure to serve you.